What is moving on the streets?
If we can touch that one gang member with that one word, we can reach entire gangs. We can reach entire cities.
We, the people of God, are going to bring the light into the darkness.
They're like sheep without a shepherd.
They don't know him yet.
A lot of times they feel trapped.
Anyone that's growing in light is going to have an increasing heart for those who are in darkness.
Go in his power and in his love and demonstrate who he is.
I say a few people made a believer out of me.
We send them out two by two.
To a wounded and dying world. Not to condemn, but to love.
Know his love, man. He loves you.
The dead raised, the sick healed, devils cast out in great measure, the poor looked after, and it should be normal Christianity.
God's heart burns for the lost, and he wants us to take the pathetic to the streets.
Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King. I'm glad you're with us for today's program. It's on the subject of abortion, and we'll be discussing how you can be a radical prophetic voice for God's justice in this hour. After all, light belongs in the darkness.
You can be 8.5 months pregnant, and your body is preparing to transition. The baby's starting to drop, and you are getting ready to deliver your baby. And if you deem it necessary that you choose not to give life to that child, you can seek out a late-term abortionist, pay a lot of dollars, and instead of having a celebration of life, you have chosen to end the life of your child. It's just a remedy. It's a quick fix. We're done. We move on. But years later, our hearts grieve because where are our babies? In some places, they put them down to disposals. Others will put them in trash bags and dispose of them. There are many different ways that they rid of the contents of our babies.
I stand as a voice for the unborn.
I'm standing for the unborn.
I'm standing for the unborn.
I'm standing
for the unborn. I am standing for the unborn.
I'm standing for the unborn.
I'm standing for the unborn.
I stand as a voice for the unborn.
I'm standing for the unborn.
I stand for the unborn.
I'm standing.
I stand as a voice.
Welcome to Insights. This is a very special program, and yet it's a very sober one. In fact, every time I worked on this, on the pre-production, I couldn't stop crying. There's something very close to the heart of God on this particular subject, and we have Faitine Crisco with us. Faitine is a survivor of an abortion holocaust. And she's with us today to share from her heart for her generation. But I just want to share for just a few moments just something from my own heart, from my own generation. I'm in my mid-50s right now. So I was in the generation that kind of promoted the whole concept of abortion. In fact, we fought for our rights to have them if we wanted them. And I guess back then it was like, we didn't think that it was a real life that we were taking. It just seemed that sometimes a pregnancy was inconvenient, it was unwanted, and sometimes it was just, a treacherous time to have a child. And so we didn't even know what we were doing when we took lives. And Faitine, I know that you're here representing the younger generation, and I feel really bad in a way because we set laws into place that actually promoted abortion, and now, of course, they're illegal. In fact, one-third of your generation has been killed through abortion. One-third of your generation is not with you today because of what happened in my generation and because of what we did. And we didn't understand the preciousness of life. And, a little while ago, I was at a conference where a gentleman was sharing, and he was in my age group. And he began to cry. He had been touched by the power of the Lord because when he was in college, he had supported an abortion that his girlfriend had. It was his child. And he encouraged her to have an abortion, and she did. And all of a sudden, the light went on. He started weeping. He says, I miss my baby. And God showed him that it was a little baby boy and that he had killed his own son. And he just started weeping. He says, I miss my son. I miss my son. I miss my son. And so we ministered to him. He was ministered to, of course, and to the emptiness, to the remorse within his heart. But I said to him, I said, you know, the pain that you're experiencing now needs to be addressed. We need to minister healing into that. But I said, listen to this. I said, a human spirit is with God before it comes into the realm of time. And in the realm of time, it's very small. In fact, time is like a little capsule inside of eternity. Compared to eternity, time is just like so small. And we only have one chance in all of eternity to live within the realm of time. And so when we abort a child, it never again gets the opportunity to live out its destiny within the realm of time. It never again gets to be for God what it was intended to be a voice for him, to be a life for him, to be an expression of his greatness, of his kindness, because it's taken, that life is taken. And so he began to weep again. I said, I didn't say this to condemn you, but it's like a wake-up call. We can't maybe redo what was done in the past, but we can start afresh now and be a voice now for justice. And in Jeremiah 1:5, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
That's amazing.
God knew you. He knew your generation before you were formed in the womb. Before you were born, he said to Isaiah, I sanctified you. I set you apart for my purposes before you were born. A life before it comes into the realm of time, which we believe is at conception, that little life has been formed by God and brought into the realm of time. And so if we kill it after that time, it's gone. Now, we're going to show a little clip of Bobby Connor. Bobby Connor is a prophet who's been powerfully used by the Lord, brought weighty prophetic words. He's been used to change many people's lives, to just bring the whole church into a new place. And he was an attempted abortion.
Wow.
Yeah, his mother tried to abort him, wow. But he survived. Let's go to that clip right now.
Wow. My experience with the Lord was in my mother's womb. My mother took a coat hanger. See, my dad died in a mental institution from a venereal disease. He lived with strange women, had sex with strange women, and a disease got in his body and traveled up his spinal column and settled in his brain, and he died a lunatic in an insane asylum. This is 1943. My mother is pregnant with me, and the doctors told her the baby in your womb will be affected with the same disease that's killing his father. And so my mother was desperate. She took a coat hanger, turned it into a hook, inserted it into her body, and tried to extract my life out of her. And the hand of the Lord came and pushed me aside and kept my mother from extracting my life. I told my wife about it before my mother ever told me. And my wife said, Bobby, nobody could know what happened to him when he was a fetus. I said, me and John the Baptist do. Isn't that something? Remember that? Said, he got full of the Holy Ghost in his mommy's tummy. Remember Jeremiah 1:4? Before I formed in the belly, before you came out of your mommy's womb, I ordained you and sanctified you and set you apart to be a prophet to the nations.
You know, as we were praying into this program, I could so feel the heart of God, but I could also feel what some of you have gone through. And the Lord showed me that there's specifically one woman out there, I believe you're in your 30s, and you had an abortion when you were younger. And I almost saw that the Lord has, I almost saw that there's almost been like a sense of denial that it was actually a death. And the Lord showed me that the enemies actually use that to bring a hardness into your heart and allowed even a dullness of spirit. But God wants you to know that if you will come to him and if you will repent and if you will just bring your heart before him on this issue, that you are going to receive a touch of his grace and you're going to receive some revelation from heaven that's going to blow your mind. It's going to bring you into a whole new realm of a relationship with Jesus.
If you've had an abortion, we don't want you to feel under any guilt or condemnation. We just want to see you healed. And God's healing power is with you right now. He just wants to lift the heaviness, the weight off of your heart and turn you into an advocate for his justice.
Yeah.
Do you need a miracle in your life? Our prayer team at Extreme Prophetic will pray through each and every need that you send us. Simply write out your request in an email and send to prayer@extremeprophetic.com. Each need receives personal attention through skilled intercessors. It is our pleasure to help you receive your miracle.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Why to the grave?
to go. Don't you know that I have wolf? Won't you let me come to birth?
Faitin, we know that there's been a terrible Holocaust concerning abortion. Maybe you might even want to share some of the stats if you want. But on this part of the program, we want to bring to light, what can we do about this now? What can we do to change things now? So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I know even you mentioned the stats. I know statistically in Canada right now, even more in the States, baby is aborted about once every 4 minutes. So once every 4 minutes, a precious life that God had conceived in his heart and allowed to be brought birth to birth in the earth is snuffed out, you know. And I think, you know, what can we do? Well, first of all, the obvious is we need to pray, you know. We need to allow our hearts to be desensitized. I feel like in the last, I don't know, season, it almost seems like this has been a silent issue, you know, in a lot of ways in the church. And I feel like we're at a place now where God is asking us to feel again on this issue and to feel what he feels and to even hear the cries. And I know even in my own prayers more and more, it's like I can hear the cries of these babies and I can hear the reality of the blood that cries out, you know. And that's just Bible. You know, the Bible says that the blood makes intercession, you know. It talked about that in Genesis with Cain and Abel. It talks about this in Revelation, about the blood of the martyrs making intercession. And I believe that there's a cry that's coming up. And so, you know, we need to, as a church, we need to hear what God hears. We need to hear the cries of the oppressed. And I believe that God is looking for a voice. I believe he's looking for a voice, yes, in the spirit, that will raise up a cry of intercession and petition heaven for justice. But I also believe that he's looking for a voice in the earth. Yeah. And that needs to manifest. And God is, and he's been speaking to me about this. He said, Faitin, you know, a third of the generation, their voice is already crying out through the blood that's crying out. And he spoke to my heart and he said, where is the rest of the voice? And I believe that we're in a season where many of us are starting to just get this holy conviction, and we understand it's like there needs to be a fullness of the voice of a generation that will cry out for justice and say, God, how long, O Lord, until you avenge the blood of this generation? And so we need to lift our voice. And that's very practical, I believe.
And practically, how can people begin to do that? I mean, obviously, we can start just talking with those around us. That helps. Like, you know, if we're at the workplace or whatever, saying, you know, abortion is not good. It's not healthy for a life. It's not healthy for the mother. It's not healthy for the father. It's not healthy for society. And it's wrong to take the life of someone who had no choice to let it go. You know, and so we can do that. But is there anything that we can do? I guess we could write to members of parliament or...
Absolutely. And I feel like, you know, this is such a touchy topic because people can feel so condemned, right? And I think the bottom line is it's about the heart of God. And you know, we need to express the heart of God in our daily lives, you know, help people to see, listen, this breaks the heart of God. This is about ministering to the things that bring him pain, but also that needs to take practical effect in our legislation. And as those who've been given a trust, we've been given a trust of democracy. We've been given a sense of, we have a responsibility in the sense that we live in a democratic society, but also just because we've been commissioned to see his dominion in the earth, you know, and so that has to take effect in the systems. And we need to be a voice on every level in our daily life and in government.
Let's go for it. You know, we're going to go to a clip right now from Lou Engel. And Lou Engel is an advocate for justice, and he's got the Justice House of Prayer in the United States and calling, you know, the young people especially to take their place. And he's going to share with us out of a Dr. Seuss story, Horton Here's a who. I always get tongue twisted on that. But he's going to share with us a prophetic story out of this.
I'm going to tell you a story that creates more faith in my heart that God is going to use everybody to end abortion in America. So here's the story. In our Justice House of Prayer, there's a young lady, 15 years old, that had a dream. In the dream, she saw this big house, and over it, said the words, the who. And we're thinking, who's the who? Was it a rock band or something like that? But in the dream, she made her way up these stairways, up into the attic. And in the attic, she found a series of old books that were needed for the future. She shares the dream together with us, and we don't know what to do with the dream. So we said, just waited on it. The next day, I was totally amazed when I got an email over my desk from a man, and this is the email. He says, I was stirred by your message, Lou, on the issue of abortion. I write this letter because I believe that the Lord has given me a piece of the puzzle concerning the end of abortion, and I submit it to you. It comes from a story that I've known from childhood called Horton Hears a Who by Dr. Seuss. It was written in 1954 before abortion was legalized. And here is the story. Horton is an elephant that has big ears. He's not a Republican. He's a prophet. He can hear what others can't hear. And he finds this group of little people called the Who's that nobody can see and nobody can hear their voice. And the whole theme of the book is a person's a person, no matter how small. But the kangaroo wants to kill the Who's because he can't hear them and can't see them. And it's the kangaroo court. And Horton, the elephant, wants to save them. And here's the story. He says to the mayor of Whoville that you need to gather all these people to make a loud cry, and every voice must be counted. Don't give up. I believe in you all, and you very small persons will not have to die if you make yourselves heard. So come now and try. And Horton called back, I can hear you just fine, but the kangaroo's ears aren't as strong quite as mine. They don't hear a thing. Are you sure all your boys are doing their best? Are they all making noise? Are you sure every Who down in Whoville is working? Quick, look through your town. Is there anyone shirking? Through the town rushed the mayor from the east to the west, but everyone seemed to be doing his best. Everyone seemed to be yapping or yipping. Everyone seemed to be beeping or bipping. But it wasn't enough, all this ruckus and roar. He had to find someone to help him make more. He raced through its building. He searched floor to floor, and just as he felt he was getting nowhere and almost about to give up in despair, he suddenly burst through a door, and that mayor discovered one shirker quite hidden away in the Fairfax Apartments, apartment 12J. 12 is the number of government. Justice. J for justice. I like it. A very small shirker named Jojo was standing, just standing and bouncing a yo-yo. Not making a sound, not a yip, not a chirp. And the mayor rushed inside and he grabbed the young twerp. You love it? And he climbed with the lad up the Eiffelberg Tower. This, cried the mayor, is your town's darkest hour. The time for all Who's who have blood that is red to come to the aid of their country, he said. I believe it's carrying the blood of Jesus in this dark time in American history. To come to the aid of their country, he said. We've got to make noises in greater amounts, so open your mouth, lad, for every voice counts. Thus as he spoke, as he climbed, when they got to the top, the lad cleared his throat and he shouted out, YOP, Y-O-P-P, young ones praying and prophesying. And that yop, that one small extra yop, put it over. Finally, at last, from that speck on that clover, their voices were heard. They rang out clear and clean. And the elephant smiled. Do you see what I mean? They've proved they are persons, no matter how small. And the whole world was saved by the smallest of all. How true, yes, how true, said the big kangaroo. And from now on, you know what I'm planning to do? From now on, I'm going to protect them with you. And the young kangaroo in her pouch said, me too. Now, it's a phenomenal story that the kangaroo, the court, heard the voice and said, we're going to protect the Who's, the unborn. But what's phenomenal is we send this out on the Elijah list, a prophetic portal. Right after that, we got an email sent from a lady who works in a daycare center. She read the email and was stunned the next day after reading the email. A little kid walked into the place, into the daycare, and had a Horton Hears a Who backpack. Another kid walks in with a little Who from Whoville as a doll. But floored her most were the 10-year-old who walked in and said, I had a dream last night, and it was Horton Hears a Who. And all the Who's were not saying yop, they were saying stop. Amazingly, we heard that Fox Movies have just gotten the rights to do a major motion picture named Horton Hears a Who. It's coming out in 2 years. Could God be shouting, it is time for every yop to be heard all across America? Every voice counts at this hour, right now, during the town's darkest hour. Amazingly, I was just with a man yesterday from Colorado. He said, my daughter came to me. She said, I'm reading this book called Horton Hears a Who, a 10-year-old. And she said, Dad, I think it's about ending abortion. The next day, he's reading, and he reads Elijah List and finds my article on it about Horton Hears a Who. I believe these things are not accidents. God is shouting right now that every child, every person in America must have a voice on the issue of abortion. Right now, I believe this is not an accident. It's not a joke. What are the chances a 15-year-old girl would dream a dream about the Who, about finding a series of old books that are needed for the future? I'm telling you, I believe God is shouting right now. Every voice must be heard. Every voice must pray. Life bans, silent sieges. A group of kids in Kansas City. There's an abortion clinic right next door to a crisis pregnancy center. And there's a wall between the two buildings. Little children are going, laying their hands on the wall, and they're praying. They're calling it the Wailing Wall. I believe it is time for every Who to begin to lift their voices. Young man and young woman, old and young, I want you to begin to pray, God, how can I be involved? Listen, during the days of slavery, you could have been in the battles, you could have been doing good things, but if you didn't have a voice concerning the ending of slavery, you would have been judged by history. As it was in the days of the civil rights movement, you could have been a godly person, a righteous person, but if you didn't speak out about justice, you would have been judged by history. And I believe 20, 30 years down the road, they will be judging us in history and say, what happened to you? Why didn't you shout during the greatest Holocaust in history? The slaughtering of 50 million babies. I believe your voice can be counted now and heard, and maybe your voice will be the one that counts the most and ends abortion in America. God bless you as you make history.
Do you desire anointed teaching, prayer, impartation, and prophetic words that speak personally to your heart? Would you like an online shopping mall that can resource your life with life-impacting teachings? All of this and more can be found on extremeprophetic.com. Visit us today online. Everything on the site is available to you on demand to facilitate your own lifestyle and schedule. Join the Extreme team for 2 entire days and evenings of activation into supernatural experience. Learn how to access the third heaven, interact with angels, and experience a variety of kingdom encounters. This exciting faith-building course is only available to those who have completed a glory school through live seminars or audio CDs or tapes. Go online at extremeprophetic.com to find out how you can attend the next Glory to Glory school.
I want to have a prayer time with you on Destiny Words, and it's specifically for those of you that have had abortion and you're just kind of undone right now, and you realize that you did what you did and it's done, but you just feel this remorse and you feel kind of unfinished business. And you know, a lot of times when a child dies, like let's say that there was a little baby that was born and after 3 months its life is lost. There's a funeral for it. The family gathers and there's a dedication of that child and its soul unto God. But when a baby's aborted that's unborn, it never gets that dedication. It never even gets thought of again. Oftentimes it's just bagged, put in the lab, and never thought of again. The mother gets up off the operating table and away she goes home, back to business. And the life of the child is never dedicated, it's never celebrated. And right now, I believe God wants to take the situation and just bring it before Him. And so for those of you that have had abortions and you never did dedicate the life of that child, I believe that God can even give you the name of your child right now if you just ask Him. So, Father, I pray that You'd give them just the name of their little one. So just let Him give you the name. And now take this precious little one, it's your baby, and lift it up to God and say, God, I dedicate this baby to You. I'm so sorry for what I did, but I place my child in Your hands. Now just lift it up and dedicate it and let the child go into the safe arms of Jesus Christ. Do you know what? You'll always be that child's mother in all eternity. The day is going to come when you'll stand before God and before your child. They'll say, Mother, I love You.
Become a Breaker Team member today and partner with us in God's media army and harvest teams through your monthly financial gift of $30 or more. As a partner, you are prayed for every day by skilled intercessors on our team. You receive special gifts, reduced registration fees, and exclusive privileges during many Extreme Prophetic sponsored events. As a Breaker Team financial partner, you receive the Breaker anointing that rests upon Extreme Prophetic. Partner with us today and join the Extreme Prophetic family.
Thanks so much for joining us on today's program. And you know, we made this program for you to activate you, because you can be a prophetic voice for the unborn. For those that have no voice for themselves yet, you can be a voice. And so just as we've discussed earlier, why don't you start by praying? You can be a voice before the Father right now. Even as soon as we finish this program, you can get on your face and wail before God on behalf of their lives and their destinies. But you can also start to talk it around, maybe write some letters. And this isn't because we're angry, it's because we're in love. And so you can write love letters on behalf of the unborn. You can be a voice of justice in this hour. Why don't you do this? And in the meanwhile, remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does.
Women like me who has chosen to exercise their right to choose. Maybe you're a woman who you didn't choose, but someone forced you into your abortion experience. I want you to tell you something that I have come to know. Our Father loves you just as you are, and He wants you to reach out and to acknowledge your past. Abortion is a sin with many consequences, but it is a sin that's forgivable, and He wants you to know that. He is reaching down. You are His little girl, and He wants to comfort you, to sing, to bring rest to your soul, but that has to come through your acknowledgement of your sin. He wants you to reach out, to repent, and He has promise, purpose, He has life He wants to restore to you, but it starts with you.